If you'd like to open up your Bibles to Matthew 25 today. Today I wanted to talk about the one talent Christian. And specifically how to succeed as a one talent Christian. So Matthew 25 here, Jesus gives a parable that we're probably all quite familiar with. We'll start by reading through the whole thing. We'll start in verse 14 of Matthew 25. And it says, is Jesus speaking here? He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained another 2 besides them. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, with some interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But unto him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So a parable here that I'm sure we've all read many times. And I think when we read this talent, when we read this parable, we have this picture in our mind of the master calling his servants in, and he hands over, 5 coins here, 3 coins here, 1 coin here. But that's not what this actually looks like, because a talent is not just, a single coin. It's not a, crisp $100 bill. It's a lot of money. So in Old Testament times, a talent was a measure of weight, and it's about 35 kilograms of weight. And so that's 1,235 ounces of gold. And so that's what he actually gave to his servants here. So at the current value of gold, if we reread the first part of this story here, so it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is unto a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one of them he gave $37 million. To another he gave $22 million. And to the third he gave $7 million. That's the amount that he actually gave to his servants in, translated roughly to modern currency. And we have this idea that the servant here who got 1 talent didn't get very much. But that's not the case. He got given an absolute fortune. He got the equivalent of $7.4 million in current money in terms of gold. And so if you read the parable with that in mind, with those sort of figures in mind, it reads quite differently. It wasn't just a small amount of money that this servant had to go and hide in the earth. It wasn't, that he hadn't been given much, so he had the right to feel like he'd been overlooked. He'd been given an awful lot. And obviously the parable here is an example of spirit-filled people, and the master is obviously God, and he's given various talents to different people. And in verse, at the end of verse 15, it says, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So he gives, the Lord gives talents, gives treasure, gives abilities to people, gives these gifts to us based on our ability to use them. He's not going to give us things that we're not able to use, that we're not ready for. And that's why we have a situation here where he takes these three servants and he gives them different amounts. And sometimes, you know, we look at this and sometimes we might look around and go, oh, that person over there, they're a five talent person. They've got all the skills. They've got all the abilities. They can, you know, they can give a good talk. They can sing really well. They're really good at witnessing. They've got all the talents. And here I'm just one talent. Maybe even only half. Maybe I only got half a talent because the Lord just didn't think I was up to very much. And so, what can I do? I can't sing. I can't give a talk. I'm not very good at witnessing. I get scared when I go witnessing. And so we can think, well, I don't have much to offer. I've only got one talent. I'm this one guy, this talent, this servant with only the one talent. But, you know, that's not what the Lord wants us to see here. Because in a natural sense, if someone said to you, here's $7 million, would you look at that and go, oh, I can't help anybody with that much money? It's nowhere near enough. It's just, what am I going to do with that? I might as well just dig a hole and leave it in the ground. That's not what you'd look at. If it's $7 million, you could buy a house for all your friends. You could pay off everyone's mortgage. You could go and, you know, start a charity and feed the homeless. You could change heaps of people's lives with that one talent. And that's exactly the same way it is with the Holy Spirit. If all you've got is the Holy Spirit and the ability to speak in tongues and you don't have the ability to do anything else, you can change people's lives. You can do all sorts of things. And so when you think about these talents that the Lord gives, just keep your finger here in Matthew 25 because we're going to be jumping back and forth. We'll go to Corinthians chapter... I only wrote Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see if it's 1 or 2 Corinthians. I'll try 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yes, it is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul here, he talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the talents that the Lord gives out. Because we hear the word talents and we tend to think, well, that must be a skill that people have, you know, like playing the guitar or singing or, you know, being really good at art or something. That's a talent. But it's, you know, it's the same word, but it's not actually what it's about. Because in that parable, the talents are things that are given by God to his servants in order to, you know, to serve him, in order to do the job that he wants them to do. And so the talents that the Lord is actually interested in are what's listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll pick it up in verse 7. And it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing unto every man severally as he will. So we've got a list here of talents that through the Spirit that God gives to Spirit-filled people. We've got wisdom, we've got knowledge, we've got faith, we've got healing, we've got miracles, we've got understanding of prophecy, we've got discernment of spirits, we've got tongues and interpretation of tongues. All different things that can be used by Spirit-filled people to further the Master's work, if you like. So these are the talents that we need to think about. These are the treasures that have been handed over. Sometimes, you know, we might only have one. We might just have that gift of tongues, and that's it. But you can still do a lot with that. You might have 3 or 5 or, you know, 10. You might have all of them, which is fantastic. But they're all gifts that come from our master, that come from God. They're not anything of us. And it's not about thinking about, well, that person's really talented because they can sing and, you know, they're a good public speaker and all those sorts of things. Those are natural things, and that's not what God is interested in. He's interested in the talent, the treasures, the $7 million that he's given to us to do something with. And those all come through the Spirit. So skip back to Matthew 25. So where did this one talent Christian go wrong in this story here? So if we read in verse 18, his response when his master came back, he says, but he that had received one, or not when his master came back, he said, but he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So if you think about it, we tend to think of this servant that got the one talent as, well, he failed because he was lazy. But he wasn't really, or they weren't really lazy, because in order to hide the talent, it took work. You had to dig a hole. You had to get out there and dig a hole. And if you're hiding 35 kilos of gold, you've got to dig a fairly decent size hole. So it wasn't that this servant was lazy, that he was just lazy towards doing the work that his master wanted him to do. He had to do other work in order to hide the treasure. And it's the same spiritually. For us to hide the spirit that's within us, to hide the talents that the Lord's given us, it takes effort. It's just effort in the completely wrong direction. So we need to make sure that where we're putting effort in our lives is in the right direction, that we put it into using the talents that the Lord has given us and not hiding them, and not, you know, trying to just, you know, tuck them away so that they don't, something doesn't happen to them. Because that was the other problem that this servant had. If we keep reading on in verse 24, so this is when his master has come back and he's reckoning with his servants. He's finding out what they did with the talents that they were given. And verse 24, The servant here makes a statement about who his master is. In verse 24, it says, then he just had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And if we think about this in relation to God, because obviously this is what the parable is about, the master is God. Is God someone who reaps where he hasn't sown, where gathers where he's not strawed, gets something that doesn't belong to him? No, that's not who God is. And that's where this servant that was given the one talent, where he fell over, was that he didn't know who his master was. He had this idea, and the idea was wrong. Just a couple of other scriptures to back this up. Again, keep your finger in Matthew 25. Lamentations chapter 3 in the Old Testament, after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. How far was I reading here? Just those couple of verses. So he's saying that the Lord is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because the Lord's compassions fail not. So this servant, he had this idea that his master was someone who, you know, got things that they didn't deserve, and he was afraid of his master because of that. And in a lot of traditional Christianity, particularly, you know, in the Catholic system, this is how people are taught to see God, as a God who sits there with a big stick waiting for you to make a mistake and step out of line, and then he's going to whack you. And a lot of people have that idea of that's what God is about. God is looking to catch you out. God is looking to find a reason to say, no, you can't make it into the kingdom of heaven. And this was kind of brought home to me in a really like sad way. I can't remember where I was, but I was out, I think it was some sort of a carnival thing, and there were a whole bunch of people around, and there was a family there with a young boy, and this boy had just spilled some of his food on himself, and he was coming to his mum in tears, asking whether God would be angry at him for spilling this food on him. I just thought, what this child has been taught about God is just so wrong. He's been taught that God is this angry man looking to have a go at you when you make the simplest of mistakes. And I just thought, that's really sad, because that's not who God is. God, as we read here, is God who is full of compassion. Is a God who sent his son to die for us. A God who will give us every chance possible while we are alive on this planet to repent, to come back to him. You know? And we see the stories that the other parables that Jesus presents about the prodigal son and those sorts of things, you know, the pearl of great price that was lost in the field, the widow who loses the coin in her house, all these examples that Jesus gives about how God wants to restore people to him in a relationship. He's looking for those opportunities. He's not looking for opportunities to, you know, cast an unprofitable servant into outer darkness. If that's what has to happen, that's what will happen. But it's not what God wants. Elsewhere, we'll go to Ezekiel chapter 18, next book over. Ezekiel chapter 18, just another kind of here, because this servant who thought that his master was someone who reaped where he hadn't sowed and you know, got the rewards that he wasn't entitled to. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. But if a man be just and do which is lawful and right, and has not eaten..." Actually, I was... leave it there. I was just going to read verse 4, actually. So, you know, people think that, you know, even the soul that is inside us that gives us life doesn't actually belong to us. It belongs to God. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, people will say, "Well, I don't want to do this for God or anything else." It's like, well, God already owns you. God created you. God owns the soul that is inside you. So God's not looking for anything that he doesn't deserve. He's not looking for anything that he doesn't already own. We won't turn there for time, but in Proverbs 16, verse 4, it says that the Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of judgment. So all this idea that this servant had in Matthew 25, that his master was someone who got things that didn't belong to him, was completely wrong. And that's one of the most important things about, if you're going to succeed as a one-talent Christian, you need to understand who your master is. You need to understand who God is and how he sees you. And the way to do that is by reading the scriptures. Because the scriptures are full of examples about how much God loves us, how much he's willing to give us, how much he cares for us. And, you know, it's so important that we get that understanding and don't just say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian and I follow God," and not actually understand what that means. I refer to that as being a EULA Christian, which if you've ever installed software on your computer, before you install it, generally this page of incomprehensible legal text comes up that you have to agree to. It's called an end user license agreement, a EULA. And every single person in the world goes through this process. They just scroll to the bottom and click agree. And they don't read a single word of it. And that's what so many people in this world are in terms of Christians. They're EULA Christians. They just go, take the whole Bible, agree. They haven't actually read it. They don't know what it's about. They don't know who God is. But they said, "Yeah, I'm following God." But they haven't actually read what that actually means and who God is. And we can't afford to make that mistake. We need to understand who our master is, what he wants from us, what he's prepared to do for us, and then we can succeed. Because there's nothing wrong with being a one-talent Christian. It's where everybody starts. Because, you know, as we read here, that the master gave out these talents according to everyone's ability. So when you start, you're always given one talent to start with. That's where everybody starts, and that's a good place to start. So that was where this guy went wrong. He obviously didn't understand who his master was. He was afraid of his master and what his response would be if something, you know, went wrong, because he thought that he could lose the talent that he'd been given. And that's not actually something that can happen. He just wants, our master just wants it to be used. And so what if you see yourself as a one talent Christian, what do you need to do to succeed? What do you need to do? We'll skip back, go back to Matthew 25, and it doesn't specifically say it in the parable here, but you can anticipate that these three servants, the servant with one talent would have probably looked at the others and went, well, why did he get three and why did he get five? I've only got one. And he made the mistake of comparing himself. And Ryan Connor, a few weeks ago when they were here, gave a really good talk about comparison and how it can be both a good thing and a bad thing. I wasn't here for that meeting, but I heard it on the podcast, and it was a really good talk. And if you haven't heard it, I encourage you to go and listen to it. But comparing yourself to others in terms of asking the question of why has that person seemingly got more than me is never a good place to start. Because as it says here in verse 15, the Lord's given to every man according to his several ability. The Lord knows what you're capable of using. The Lord knows what you're capable of doing with the talents that he's given you, and he's given them to you in regard to that. So I just wanted to read through this parable again, and I'm going to cut out any reference to the servants who got three and five talents, because we'll see how we go. It's just going to take a bit of juggling on the way. So verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Skip down a little bit. "And he gave to another one, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." We'll skip down to verse 18. "And he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his lord's money. And after a long time, the lord of those servants comes and reckons with them." Verse 24. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. So lo, here thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, so that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." Verse 30, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So this could easily have been a parable just about a master who gave one servant one talent, and then he went and hid it in the earth, and as a result got cast into outer darkness and lost his place serving his master because of it. Because in reality, if you feel that you're a one-talent Christian, it doesn't matter what the three-talent and the five-talent Christians are doing. It only matters what you do, because there's no benefit in comparing ourselves to other people and going, well, that person's, you know, doing all this stuff, you know, because it doesn't matter. The Lord knows what you can do, and he just wants you to do it. So that's, you know, the first thing to succeed as a one-talent Christian is to just take what you've got and use it, and don't think that someone else will. Because no one else can use the talent that you've got. They've all got their own talents. So take what you've got and use it. The second step is to appreciate what you have. Don't ever think, I've only got one talent. Because like we looked at that, you know, current comparison in terms of value, that one talent is an absolute fortune. And if you know, if you're someone who's, you know, physically unable to get out of the house, you're bedridden, and all you can do is pray in tongues. That's all you can do, all you're physically capable of doing. You can see people healed. You can see people blessed. You can see people provided for just by doing that. You can change people's lives even if you can't get out of your own bed. And that's the wonderful thing about the talents that God gives us through the Spirit, is that they have absolutely no requirement for our physical, natural selves to be able to do anything other than just use the Spirit that we've got. And so that's what God expects from us as servants here. In verse 27, he says to this servant, "Thou oughtest therefore to have put any my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." I just want you to use what I gave you. Don't hide it in a hole in the earth. Just use it in whatever way you can. Now, you might think it, the way that you can use it isn't very important, but as long as you're using it, then the Lord is going to bless you. This talk's going a lot quicker than I thought it would. Look at that. All right. What else was I? There was another point I was going to make. I can't remember what it was. You're going to miss out. I'll remember it later when it's too late. The other thing to think of, I've been talking about one talent Christians, but at the end of this parable that God gives here, and it says, verse 28, it says, Take therefore the talent unto him, take the talent from him, from the one talent, Christian, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. So at the end of this story, there's no one with one talent, there's no one with 3 talents, there's no one with 5 talents. What there is there's a person who has 6, it's the person who had 3 and doubled them by using them, there's the person that has 11, the person that started with 5 and doubled it and then got given an extra one because the person that had 1 talent wouldn't use it. And so at the end of this parable, there's no 1 talent Christians. There's a 6 talent Christian and an 11 talent Christian. And I think that's a really important thing to understand, is that if we use what we've been given, if you see yourself as, well, I'm just a 1 talent person, if you use that 1 talent, you won't be a 1 talent Christian anymore. The Lord will give you another one, and then another one, and then another one. And before long, you'll be a 3, 5, 6, 11, 50 talent Christian, because there is no end to the amount of treasure and blessing and abilities that the Lord's willing to hand out to people that want to be used and want to grow in the things of the Lord. And there's a great example of this in the book of Acts, chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, so early days of the Spirit-filled church here. We'll pick up the story of what's going on here in verse 1. And it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out amongst you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom thou may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." And so they needed a job done here. It was a very basic job. They basically just needed these guys to go out and do, you know, day-to-day ministration, to basically, as Paul says here, to wait tables, as the disciples said here, to wait tables, to do basic things of helping around in the fellowship, to help people out. And one of the people that they chose here was Stephen. And we continue to read on in verse 7. It says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient of the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." And elsewhere we can read on in later chapters about how Stephen was stoned and those sorts of things. Not exactly. exactly where we want to go. No one's here looking to be stoned, I don't think. But the example here is great. Stephen was this guy who was keen to use the talents that he had in the Spirit, and he was given the opportunity to wait tables, to basically make people cups of tea, to do really basic things to help in the fellowship. And he took that opportunity. He took that one talent and he went, I'm going to use it. And very quickly, Stephen, verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. God took his attitude and took his willingness to serve and went, here you go, here's 11 talents. Just keep using them. And that's where the Lord wants all of us to be. No one starts out with, you know, 5, 10, 15 talents. We all start out with one, and we just need to start using it and start serving the Lord, and the Lord will just give us more and more and more and more and more. We just need to make sure that we don't make the mistakes that that servant in the parable made, where he didn't understand who his master was and he was afraid of his master. Now, you know, in that particular parable, Jesus uses the example of a master and a servant. Elsewhere, he's used the example of a father and children. And that's how we need to see God, as our father. Not a father who's, you know, sitting there with a big stick ready to whack us, but a father who's going to help us, who's going to help us overcome our mistakes, who's going to guide us, who's going to forgive us. Because we all make mistakes. We all will continue to make mistakes until the Lord returns, until we're changed to be perfect in the Spirit, because we're all still in the flesh. And God is not looking to punish us for that. He's just looking to reward us for our faith so that we can grow, so that he can give us more talents, so that we can get more opportunities to do more things. We need to make sure that we put our effort into using our talents and not hiding them, because it takes a lot of work to hide the Spirit that's inside you. If anyone over the course of walking the Lord has felt the need to try and do that in certain situations, it takes a lot of effort to hide the fact that you're Spirit-filled. And I see people who've walked away from the Lord and they're still having to put effort into ignoring the Spirit in their life, because the Spirit is always there just trying to nudge them back in the right direction, and they're always having to ignore it. It's not a good place to be. It takes effort to not use the talent the Lord's given you. So rather than doing that, put the effort into using it. And then, you know, the last thing is just, as you get more talents, just keep using them. Because the Lord, if you think about the original parable, it was the servant with one talent that didn't use it. But if it was the other way around, and if it was a servant with five talents had dug a hole and put those five talents in the ground and hadn't used them, the outcome would have been exactly the same. He would have been cast into outer darkness. His five talents would have been taken and given to someone else. So it doesn't actually matter how much you've got. The expectation from the Lord is the same. Just use it. Just take what I've given and use it for my work. And that's what God wants from us, is to, with an attitude of joy in our hearts and to wanting to serve him because we understand how much we've been given, to just take what we've got and just use it. And I'll leave the scriptures there and I'll hand back to Pastor Philip.